A teenage boy is walking under a bridge when suddenly a pair of shoes comes flying out of the air and hits him on the head. That's how Lewis Satcher's classic children's novel, Holes, begins. He picks up the shoes. The policemen arrive and ask, "How did you get the shoes?" They were donated by a famous baseball player to a charity auction, had been stolen. And he says, "They came flying out of the air." Naturally, the police don't believe him. Neither does the judge who sentences him to 18 months in the broiling Texas sun digging holes. Now, Stanley has grown up believing that his family is cursed, one misfortune after another, and he believes it. And as he's digging holes in that broiling Texas sun, his hands are blistered and his back aches and his whole body is weary and he wishes he were dead. What he doesn't know is that in digging that first hole, he is beginning to plant a seed of glory that will result in his resurrection and the reversal of fortune for his family. From the broiling Texas sun, may your inner eye come to a hockey rink in New York, the Olympic hockey rink, as a crowd cries out, 5, 4, 3, 2, an announcer poses the famous question, "Do you believe in miracles?" "Yes." And suddenly, the American underdog hockey team has defeated the seemingly invincible Russians and set off a delirium across America that's been almost unparalleled in my lifetime. And in the midst of that celebration, one man stands calmly and takes it all in. The coach of the American team, Herb Brooks. And his thoughts stray to the darkest day of his life, almost exactly 20 years before, when he was the last player cut from the 1960 Olympic team, the first team in America to win a gold medal in hockey. And he can't help but think, how could the darkest day of my life have been the hole where I planted the seed that resulted in what's come to be known as the miracle on ice? Leap from there to a fashionable 18th century British home where there is a man falling into a psychological, physical, emotional, spiritual hole. His name is William Wilberforce, and he is in the depths of despair. It was not always the case. He was elected to Parliament at age 21. He was considered the brightest, the best of the British politicians. A bright future was predicted for him. But at age 35, William Wilberforce became a Christian. And he believed, if I am a child of God, then everyone is a child of God. And if that's the case, people can't own other people. And so in 1788, William Wilberforce introduced the first bill trying to outlaw slavery in the British Empire. He was ridiculed, laughed down, scorned by his friend, rejected by society. And the alienation, the estrangement, the psychological abuse heaped upon him broke his mind and body. He kept trying year after year and almost succeeded in outlawing slavery, only to have key supporters betray him at the very last instant. He fell into a hole. And in the midst of that breakdown, who should come to him but a former slave owner who is now a Christian named John Newton. Yeah, John Newton, who wrote a little song you might know called Amazing Grace. John Newton came to Wilbur Wilberforce in his hole and he said to him, "Sir, you are like Daniel in the lion's den. The same God who delivered Daniel will deliver you from your critics." William Wilberforce slowly, painfully came out of his hole to reintroduce his bill again and again. Until in February of 1803, he was finally successful. And when he realized that the British Empire was about to outlaw slavery, when he realized after a lifetime of struggle, he was about to win, he broke down in tears and cried. He realized that hole had been where he had planted the seed of glory. It is only now that we can come to what you understand is the first Easter text, written long before the Gospels. This is the first Easter text written by Paul when there were Christians who did not believe that the resurrection was a reality. They didn't believe it was a part of the Christian theology. And Paul writes to say, don't you understand it's woven into the very fabric of God's teaching? What was sown physical body is raised a spiritual body. What was sown as perishable is raised imperishable. What was sown in dishonor is raised in glory. What was sown in weakness is raised with power. Far from being an idea tacked on to the end of our theology, says Paul, resurrection is the central heartbeat of our faith. Resurrection is not something we simply trot at Easter. Resurrection is not something we simply celebrate on this day. It is the very energy and purpose of God to be accessed every single day. Jesus Christ lived in a world where hatred could overcome love, a world where good could be thwarted by evil, where the innovation of his gospel could be stymied by convention. He lived in a world that was capable of taking the very Son of God and torturing him and nailing him to a cross until death and then throwing him in a hole. And there are many, even in the world today, who believe that's the destiny of all of us. We live, we die, we're thrown into holes. But we believe that that's not the story. Yes, even God through his Son could suffer death. And the fact that God would condescend to do that says something about his nature. But that's not all of his nature. The Father raised the Son from the dead because Easter resurrection power is the very impulse of who God is. And if he has raised him, then says Paul, he has raised us all. The first Adam brought death. But as in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. The first Adam birthed the physical. But Christ has birthed us as spiritual creatures, free for God's kingdom, if only we accept it. We all fall into holes. Every one of us falls into holes from time to time because we're vulnerable, we're weak, we're not self-sufficient. But in our falling into holes, we are meant to open up our being. Open up our being to God's resurrection power. Resurrection is not just something we celebrate at Easter. It is a resource we're meant to access every day of our lives. When we're wronged, when we suffer, when we are depressed. When we grieve, when we've experienced rejection, when we feel a pain that no words can touch, Easter is meant to happen. God is meant to raise us out of our holes and experience newness of life. It's not a doctrine. It's a resource available to us every single day. No Christian in here should come to his or her deathbed and say, I hope God's resurrection power is real. Every Christian, over the course of his or her life, should be able to look back at that life and to see moments where we fell into holes, where we experienced grief, where we experienced loss, where we dealt with rejection, where we faced despair, where we were hopeless. But the resurrection power of God lifted up out of our holes and gave us newness of life. What happens to us at the end of our lives should just reaffirm an experience that we have felt all of our lives. Easter is not primarily about what happened to Jesus Christ. It's not primarily about what happens to us when we die. Easter primarily is a revelation of the very nature of God. Our God is a God who fills the universe with resurrection strength. We all fall into holes. Some of those holes we call death. And some of our holes are worse to us than death. But by the power of faith, we're meant to rise out of those holes and understand that in those holes we have planted the seed of glory. I can't help on this Easter day but think of a musician. A musician who fell into a hole. Professionally, dead. Nobody came to his concerts. The public had turned its backs on his style. Financially, bankrupt. He'd had to close his music company. Physically, a wreck. He'd suffered a stroke so that his left side was partially paralyzed. His mind was so addled that his best friends thought he was going senile. And in the midst of his hole, he retreated into a small apartment and sought seclusion. But there in that hole, he began to hear the resurrection music of God. He began to write feverishly a story of the need of a Savior, the birth of a Savior, the life of a Savior, the death of a Savior, the resurrection of a Savior that leads to the redemption of all humankind. Over the course of 3 fevered weeks, he heard the music and wrote it. So that George Frideric Handel could say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And as he reached the end of his work, as he comes out of his hole, he realizes God is a God truly of resurrection reality. And he ends his work with these words, "Thanks. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." As I look out on this congregation, I know there are many of you who have fallen into holes. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are racked with grief. Some of you wrestle with depression. Some of you have been physically injured. You've dealt with surgeries that have waylaid you. Some of you have experienced rejection. Some of you have known loss in ways that none of us are aware. Some of you have failed. And you find yourself in a hole. This morning, tap the reality of resurrection. It's not just a doctrine. It's not just an idea. It's not just what happened to Jesus. Paul is right. Christ is sown imperishable, but raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. And in him, we share his destiny. Our baptism says it all. We were buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And we're meant to access that truth every single day. You may have fallen into a hole. But in that hole, plant the seed of glory. And may your testimony be that of the scriptures. Thanks. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray together. Lord, in the midst of our holes, whatever they might be, give us your resurrection strength. In the midst of our holes, however dark and deep, may we access the fact that Christ has been raised and in him we are raised with him. May we celebrate indeed that he is alive, and through him we live too. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.